Praise the Lord, church. The song says, no matter what comes my way, no matter what comes my way, I'll lift my voice and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. He is a great God. How many understand he knows what he's doing tonight? He knows exactly what he's doing tonight. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to be here and preach behind the sacred desk, give honor to my pastor and his family, which is my family now. But couldn't have picked a better family to marry into. So let me get my technology squared away here. But I'm so glad for the many blessings that the Lord gives you and I when we're undeserving of it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we're going to read a familiar portion of Scripture tonight. And it's a portion of Scripture that the Lord brought to my attention not too long ago when I was reading the plan that they gave out at the beginning of the year. And I ran across this portion of Scripture, and it just speaks volumes to me. And if anything, I'm preaching to myself tonight. And I want everyone to understand tonight how important it is to stay focused on Jesus Christ. In a time of so much confusion and chaos, we got to be in tune with God. If you're there, shout amen. We're going to start in the first verse here. I try not to kill you with a bunch of scripture. Verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early to the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought these peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down from the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. I mean, understand, we get to a point where we can corrupt our own selves. And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto it, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which hath brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from the fierce wrath to repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servant, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Let me understand, Moses changed the mind of the Lord. Let me understand, you can change the mind of God today. You can change the mind of Jesus. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had to do unto his people. And these next five scriptures, I want to focus a little bit here on, have us hone in on it. It says, and Moses turned and went down the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on one side and on the other side they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing God graven upon the tables. And then Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted and said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the noise of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf in the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of out of his hands, and he brake them beneath the mount. And the last verse here, it says, "And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the earth, on the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it." So for a little bit tonight, I don't want to keep us too long, but I'm going to talk about the voice of compromise. The voice of compromise. If you can, let's lift our hands and let's focus on the Lord tonight. And let's talk to him for a little bit and ask him to bless this message. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity to come into your house tonight, Lord. I ask you to clean my heart, cleanse my spirit, cleanse my mind, Jesus. Lord, help me to deliver your message, Jesus. Help someone leave changed by the power of your Holy Ghost and the power of your presence tonight, Jesus. We exalt your holy name, Lord. We know you do things, all things great, and you have a purpose for each and every one of us in this place tonight, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. I hope that's everybody. Hope everybody's with me tonight. The voice of compromise. The voice of compromise. I understand we can compromise on preferences, but not on principles. We can compromise on where we want to go to dinner at, where we want to eat at, what restaurant we want to pick after church. We can compromise on that, Eli, but we can't compromise on the Holy Ghost. We can't compromise on His Spirit today. We can compromise on what kind of movie, what kind of show we want to watch, Brother Jason. I know that's a fighting battle between me and my wife sometimes. But I understand we can't compromise on baptism in Jesus' name, Brother Bo. We can't afford to compromise on the principles. We can compromise on what kind of vehicle we want to buy, but we can't compromise on repentance. Whatever's in this word, whatever we believe in, we can't compromise that today, Brother Mikey. We can't afford to compromise. We can't afford to listen to the voice of compromise. Listen, church, compromising with the enemy will cost you greatly. It will cost you. It comes at a price to listen to this voice that comes to you and I each day. You see, when you compromise, you come to an agreement with the other person or party. I came here tonight to agree with my Lord and nobody else. I came here to agree with Jesus Christ. I don't care who else is in this place, but I care about Jesus, the only one that matters in this place. And so I can't afford to listen to the voice of compromise. My God has done too much for me. He's done too much for you. I'm not going to abandon the truth for a quick satisfaction, for a quick getting it out of the way, getting it over with, Pastor. I got to listen to the voice of Jesus. I got to listen to the voice of my God. Aaron, we find in this portion of Scripture, Aaron was a very important man. He was the mouthpiece for Moses. He was handpicked for Moses to help him with his speech and to help him proclaim Jesus Christ during the time of their bondage in Egypt. And Aaron was supposed to be a leader that Moses and the Lord could trust. He was a priest in the tabernacle. He knew the Ten Commandments that the Lord had given Moses, and he knew what to do right, Brother Chris, and he knew everything, all the things that the Lord set in stone, set in place for them to follow. He knew it all, backwards and forwards. He was there through all the plagues and through all the bondage in Egypt. He experienced everything that the Lord brought them out of. Everything that the Lord brought him out of. But yet he folded to this voice. He folded to the voice of compromise. He folded when it got hot. He was tempted and he was tried by the people. His problem started when the children of Israel began to be an influence on him. How many understand we got to be careful what influences you and I today? The people were pushing on him and cornering him. How many of you ever felt like that in life? You feel like you've been pushed into a corner. You feel like there's no way out. You feel like, oh, I have to fight my way out of this thing. How many understand today, if you have Jesus Christ on your side, the battle's already won. The battle's already won in this place. So, can I ask you a simple question? What will you do when the enemy tries to negotiate with you? What will you do? What will I do when the enemy starts coming and it starts to sound enticing? Let me understand that. The devil can have enticing words. He can make it feel like this is a good decision. That's why we all ought to pray about everything and ought to seek God's face about everything we do. But there's nothing that the devil can give me that is worth trading in for tonight, church. My God is the only thing worth giving up everything. My God is worth giving up everything for. The sinful nature and the longing to do wrong was still in the midst of the people. They still had a problem with bondage. They still had an issue with being overcome. They still had an issue with their past. They couldn't get past it. They couldn't get past the bondage. And so the difference between both Moses and Aaron, yes, they were both leaders, but the difference between the two was that Moses was able to leave Egypt behind and move forward. He was there. They were both leaders. He was there hand in hand with Moses. He rarely ever probably left Moses. And yet Moses was the head man. Aaron was right next to him. How can you be so close to that? Brother, oh man, I don't want to be so close to the presence of God that I lose out on what's important. That I lose out on what God has in store for me. The sinful nature and the longing to do wrong was still in the midst of the people. You see, Egypt still had a hold of Aaron. And Aaron had failed both him and himself and the children of Israel at their weakest moment. At their weakest moment, Aaron had failed the children of Israel. God forbid that we ever fail somebody because we listen to the voice of compromise. Because whether you like it or not, people are looking at you. Whether you like it or not, if you have apostolic written all over you, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've repented of your sin, you are a leader. You are a leader. You're accountable today. You and I are both accountable today. You see, Moses and Aaron were both leaders. The difference was that Moses could leave the past behind. He didn't fall victim to the voice of Christ. I'm sure there are so many times when the children of Israel would talk behind Moses' back. There were so many times of, why are you doing this, Moses, to us? Why did you lead us here? Why did you lead us here? But what they didn't really realize was that the Lord was leading them there. They didn't really lean on Jesus Christ very much, but they tended to lean on more towards Moses. I mean, understand, I don't want to lean on just a man. I want to lean on God. I want to lean on the unchanging hand tonight. And so when Moses came down from the mound, he came down to the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf. Joshua was with Moses, and he heard a noise as they were making their way down. We've read this scripture. I'm just paraphrasing. Joshua had thought it was the noise of war, Brother Jason. He thought it was something that was a battle going on. He thought he heard a noise, and it was just a great noise. I can only imagine Joshua hearing, man, what is going on down here? Something must be going on because I can hear the noise. I can hear the sound of something going on. Joshua thought it was a sound of war. The Bible says it was a distinct sound. Moses said, it wasn't the sound of victory, Joshua. This isn't the sound of victory. This isn't even the sound of defeat, Joshua. But it's the sound of singing. It's the sound of praise. See, Moses understood what praise sounded like. Moses understood what worship sounded like. Moses understood what it felt like to have a spiritualness about something. And so as they were making their way, they heard a noise. And when they came down at this moment, everything that they came out of came right back up to an ugly head. He came down the mount, and in his past life was staring him straight in the face. How many of you ever feel like that tonight? You feel like some things keep staring you down. You feel like every direction you turn, you feel like Satan has a plan for you. You feel like everything I try to do is so hard. Everything I try to do is so difficult. Everything I try to do is so contrary to what my plan is. Everything I try to do is so hard and so difficult. Let me tell you something tonight. As long as you have Jesus' name applied to you, he has a purpose for you. He knows what he's doing, and there's a plan for you and I tonight. There's a plan. So he had him been thinking, man, I thought we were past all of this. Moses had to have a sense about him of saying, man, I thought I was past all of this. I thought, you know, we got out of Egypt. We got out of bondage. Okay, now we're in the wilderness. We're still not there yet into the promised land. But we're still dealing with some things, but we're past some things. But yet we're still facing adversity. How many ever feel like that in this place tonight? I'm past some things, but I still feel a little adversity coming my way. I still feel a little pressing towards me. I still feel a little pressure, like a pressure cooker on me. I feel like something is on top of me, and I can't get out. Can't get away, can't escape it. And Egypt still had a hold on him. You see, compromising is something that gives someone a second option. It's a voice that says, oh, there's a plan B. Oh, there's another way out. You don't have to go through baptism in Jesus' name. You don't have to go through repentance. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to speak with other tongues. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But let me tell you something. There's only one plan, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one voice, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't care what Satan may be telling you tonight, but there's only one voice, and it's Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today that it's very easy to go back to familiar feelings? It's so easy to go back to the old ways. It's so easy to go backwards. But it takes a real person in Jesus Christ to move forward through things, through the wilderness. And so, it's easy to compromise. It's easy to take. You know, when you compromise with someone, it usually turns out, well, okay, I'll give this and I'll take that. And when I compromise and I want to go to Freddy's, but Lexi wants to go to Applebee's, okay, we'll go to Applebee's tonight and we'll go next week to Freddy's. It doesn't feel as good, does it? It doesn't feel as good. And so when we listen to that voice, there's some things you give. You give up. And the voice of compromisation is something that the devil uses to his advantage. The devil doesn't lose anything when you answer to the voice of compromise tonight. The devil loses nothing. You lose something. You lose something. And so some of you may be feeling it's been this way for so long and it'll always be this way till the day I die. That was the voice of compromise that the children of Israel were listening to. Moses, you brought us all this way, Sister Angie. We've come this far. And now we're into the wilderness. You brought us out of bondage from Egypt, and now we're into the wilderness. What is going on here? I thought there was a promised land. I thought there was sunshine in the shadows. I thought there was something else on the other side. But it seems like we're running right into adversity again, Sister Laney. It seems like all hope is lost. And so they even got to a point where they started affecting their elders, and Aaron was an elder. Aaron was someone they looked up to. Be very careful of looking at your situation and affecting other people by what you think it may be like, because you're affecting somebody else. And so growth in God is understanding I have to let some things die. And we're going to read a little bit longer later on in the message here, but growth is understanding I have to let some things die. Moses made a decision when he came off that mount. He made a decision. We can't move forward with what is holding on and nagging at us anymore. We can't move forward. We can't progress without cutting off what is offending us. And so we can't keep going on with this captive mindset. We can't keep going on with feeling the pressure and feeling the pain and feeling the pulling and tugging of the adversary anymore. And so he ends up coming up with a plan And the Levites went through the camp and slayed those who had sinned on that day. He stands at the gate and he says, okay, here it is. If you're for God, join me. If you're against me, then step aside. And he ordered the Levites, the children of the Levites, to take their swords and slay all of them that decided not to join on Moses' side that day. And we're going to read farther along here later on, but listening to compromising with the enemy will cost you greatly, church. It'll cost you some things. It'll cost you some things you wish you would have never given up. Aaron cost the children of Israel 3,000 people, the word of the Lord says. It all could have been coming to a screeching halt if Aaron would have just had the same mindset as Moses. It all could have stopped right there at him if he would have said, no, enough's enough. No, Satan, I'm not going to listen to that. No, children of Israel, I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, understand, some conversations we just don't need to listen to. I mean, understand, some group of people we just don't need to be around. I mean, understand, separation is not a bad thing. Sometimes you got to separate yourself to help and better yourself. Because the voice of compromise wants nothing but to pull you down and to weigh on you and I today. So we must be very careful that we as the children of God do not mistakenly replace God with whatever is in our life. That's what Aaron did. He said, give me your earrings, give me your jewelry, give me everything that is shiny, give me all the glitz and the glamour. I'm going to throw it into this furnace, and it's going to come out, and it's going to be a golden calf. And I know Moses is gone, and how confused, how in the world did he get so confused when his leader left? How in the world could he ever amount to that? How could he let his guard down when his leader left? But he did. It was the voice of compromise that crept into him. And so one of the devil's biggest tricks is this voice that he speaks to you and I. The voice of compromise will tell you you'll just have to live with regret. You'll just have to live with affliction. You'll just have to live with your problem. You'll just have to live with depression. You'll just have to live with being oppressed. You'll just have to live with your disease. You'll just have to live with your sickness. You can still serve God and still have an illness. You can still serve God and still have money problems. You can still serve God and still have marital problems. You can still serve God and still have family issues. Let me tell you something. The Lord does not desire you to live for him and still be bound by some things. He does not desire that for you and I today. I believe there's some people in this church tonight that you've made it through some bondage. You've made it through some Egypt times. But it seems like the devil keeps throwing a roadblock after roadblock. It seems like a wilderness after a wilderness. Okay, I got through this. Now it's something else. What now? Let me hear a question. I have. What now? What next? What next? And so, I wonder if anyone will stand up like Moses tonight and say, this is where I draw the line. This is as far as it goes. And trust in the Lord that he's going to keep you through every temptation, every problem, every situation. And draw that line and say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm not going to listen to the voice of compromise. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give up something that's going to cost me. I'm not going to give up something that's going to cost me dearly. But I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I want what he has for me. I'm not going to be like Aaron and compromise with the enemy today. I'm not going to forget what the Lord brought me out of. The children of Israel had a short-term memory loss. How many ever had that? I have that about every day when I wake up, I think. Lex, the good thing I have Lexi by my side, she reminds me of a lot of stuff. Let me understand, it's a dangerous place to have short-term memory loss when you're living for God. We can't afford to have that in our spiritual walk with the Lord. The voice of compromise will tell you you have to live with your affliction. You don't have to live with problems tonight, church. You can leave this place free. You can leave this place free as a bird. And so, in Exodus, if you have your Bible still, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 20, says, and we already read it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to the powder and strawed it up upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it." And so I had to read this. I don't know about you, but I like reading it in NIV because sometimes I'm illiterate in the King James Version. And I cross-reference. I like to do that with the NIV and the King James. I read the NIV, then I read the King James. But what that tells me is that after they burnt that calf, Moses was fed up with it, Brother Chris. Sometimes you just got to be fed up with your problems. If you really want to get past some things, if you really want to get over the hump, you got to get fed up with it. And Moses was fed up, so fed up that he broke the tablets of the Ten Commandments with anger. And he was frustrated. And so he grounded that calf and burned it and took the ashes and spread it out the water that the children of Israel used for drinking. And they drank of the ashes. They drank the ashes. I can imagine being in the shoes of the children of Israel taking a drink of this water that had ashes from the golden calf in it. I know that they were thinking, this water doesn't taste the same. How many understand, sometimes you go to a restaurant, you sit down, man, this doesn't taste like Coke at all. This doesn't taste what I normally drink, Brother Jason. And it ruins the whole meal. But let me tell you something. You may have found yourself in some less than desirable situations tonight, church. You may have found yourself in a problem or a situation that's less desirable for you. Here recently, you may have felt as though life has seemed so distasteful to you. You may have feel like living for God just isn't the same anymore. You know, I've been living for God for my whole entire life, and there has been some times where it just doesn't feel the same anymore. Why is that? Because I've in past times I've compromised with Satan. I've given up some things that I should have never given up. I've gotten lackadaisical in my prayer life. I've gotten lackadaisical in my time set to meditate on the Lord and to follow His will and to do what He wants me to do. You may feel like living for God just doesn't seem like it was prior anymore. Can I tell you today that the voice is telling you that that voice that you feel is the voice of compromise? That voice that you hear is the voice of compromise. As the musicians want to come and the singers want to come, I'm going to close on this next portion of Scripture. And it's in Exodus 32 and verse 26. Verse 26 says, "Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp, and he said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side?'" I'm talking to some people that are on the Lord's side tonight. I'm talking to some people that are on the Lord's side. So you may have had a problem. You may have had some adversity coming away, but you're still on the Lord's side. You may have had problem after problem, situation, occurrence after occurrence, and you feel like, oh, I've gotten over the big things, but now all these little things are coming at me, and I don't know what to do. I feel like Aaron. I feel like everyone's left me. I'm by myself. I don't know which direction. I don't know which move to take. People are talking in my ear, talking in this ear. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. But you can't fold to the voice of compromise, church, tonight. And it says, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." That's a pretty deep statement there. That's a pretty deep commandment. That's a pretty deep thing to say, go out from gate to gate throughout the whole camp and slay those that are against us today. Because if, let me tell you something, if you're not on Team Jesus, you're on Team Satan tonight. Let's get real tonight, church. If you're not on Team Jesus, you're on Team Satan. It's a heaven or hell issue today. And so we listen to so many different voices, but I feel like tonight, I feel like here recently, maybe in my own walk with the Lord, there's been a voice of compromise that's come knocking at my door and saying, answer. Answer me. It'll get better if you answer this. It'll get better if you just take the easy way out. It'll get better if you just do things your own way. And so, verse 28 says, and the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. I mean, understand, the children of Israel, I guarantee it, they were a tight community. They've been through bondage. They've been through Egypt. They've been through the times in the wilderness. They were close as this church. I feel like this church, I've been in other churches before, but I feel like this church is close. I feel like we're a body that cares for one another. I feel like we're a body that cares. When one hurts, we all hurt. When someone needs a prayer request, we pray for that person. And so it would be a hard command. It would be a hard thing to answer to the call of somebody, go out and slay your neighbor. If they're not for Jesus Christ, if they're not for this great cause, slay them. Get rid of it. Let me understand tonight, we got to get rid of some things. We got to cut some things off in our life. We got to cut out this voice. We got to cut out all the other voices that you may be hearing. We got to cut off any kind of other spirit. Let me tell you something, there's other spirits than just the Holy Ghost tonight. There's other spirits. And so, verse 29 says, for Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his own, upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. I mean, you're saying they were blessed because they cut some things off. They were blessed because they didn't hinder the move of God. They were blessed because they exalted the move of God, because they did what they were told to do. If Aaron would have just done what he was told to do, this would have never happened. This story, we wouldn't have been reading about all the 3,000 lives that were laid down because of Aaron's fault and his failure. And so I'm going to ask this church tonight, and I'm going to end on this, who is on the Lord's side? It's a simple question, but it has so much to it tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? I want to invite those to an altar, if we can all stand tonight. I believe God's wanting to do some things tonight. I know it may be a little mild service, maybe a little mild spirit in here, but let me tell you something, God moves either way. God will move either way if we just allow him to. But I want to invite those who have come out of Egypt. You've come out of major issues. You've come out of major problems, and now you're in the wilderness. Now you feel like adversity. The little things are coming our way. Little things you can get past. See, the children of Israel, they needed a leader. I feel like they still need a leader through the wilderness, but yet this was something that should have never happened. They should have never had the longing to have an idol. They went against the Ten Commandments, and they went against the law of God. But those that need a move of God, those that are tired of bowing down to the enemy and compromising, whose side are you on, church? Are you on the Lord's side or are you on the devil's side tonight? It's a pretty self-explanatory question. But let me tell you something. We're on the winning side tonight. We're on the winning. How many understand that tonight? We're on the winning side tonight. Let's clap our hands. Let's worship God tonight. Let's praise his mighty name.